Church family, I am so grateful that we've gathered together to worship and that I have the opportunity to say to you that almost 900 households have joined us online already. And I don't know how many total people that equate to, but it's great that the church is a people, not just a place. I want to share with you the exciting things that God is doing through your generosity. This last week, I talked with Steve Canfield with Life Action Ministry, and Steve shared with me his gratitude for Whitesburg Baptist Church. The generosity of our church was an incredible blessing because during this season, with all of the changes in the culture and the closings and changing of schedules, had you not been so overwhelmingly generous to the Life Action team, they would really be struggling right now. But here's what he said to me: Daryl, because of Whitesburg Baptist Church, we enter into this season with peace and an ability to move forward in ministry. Thank you, church family. But not only that, I found out recently that when we gave to the Gideon ministry, that you gave enough money that Whitesburg Baptist Church helped place almost 10,000 copies of God's Word in places for people to read the Scripture and hear the powerful message of Jesus Christ. And then just this last week, we received word from one of our partner ministries in Romania that because of all of the issues surrounding coronavirus and all that's happening, that there was an orphanage that they were feeding that was struggling to get food. And so immediately, our senior associate, Philip Slusher, wired money to Romania. And we'll be following up with them because we want to make sure that their needs are being met. All of those kinds of things are happening because of your generosity. And even today, the ability to gather online is a blessing because of your generosity. During these days, we want to encourage you to continue. And you can answer the question, how can I continue to support the ministry of Whitesburg Baptist Church? Because ministry is going to continue, and we have responsibilities as a church family. First of all, you can give online. The website is there in front of you, and if you have questions, you can call our business administrator or email him, and he'll be glad to help you with that process. Secondly, you can drop your offering and your tithe in the mail. Or third, you can simply stop by the church office. I pray that God uses this season to grow us in the grace of generosity, and we continue to bless those in our community and literally around the world. Pastor Rick's going to come and read our scripture for this morning. So if you'd take your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, he's going to read verses 3 through 5. Rick, read God's word for us this morning.
Church family, let's read the word together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Church family, can we pray together? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We are so grateful that you have brought us salvation. And you will complete your work from beginning to end. So, Lord, as we are in union with you and the Christ of the living God indwells us, we have that blessed hope. Thank you for the living hope that we experience day by day. Bless the message that our pastor will bring. May there be a special anointing and unction on Daryl as he preaches and teaches your word. Thank you for what you're going to do, and we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
In the beginning, darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The true light, which gives light to everyone, came into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It is a light for the lost, the searching and the seeking. A light for the darkest valley. A light to drive out fear, even in the shadow of death. When we believe in the light, we become children of the light. It shines in us, through us. If we walk in the light, if we let it shine before others, we become a city on a hill. The light of the world. When we let His word light our path, others will follow. We become a beacon of hope to a world in darkness. Our lives reflect the glory of His resurrection. He makes us a light for the nations, so His salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let there be light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
This morning, I want you to turn your attention with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And although we had intended to begin a new series called Overcomer, the Life of Joseph in Genesis, today, I want to take a break, and I want us to address what I think is a very important issue in the days in which we live. I want to talk to you today about hope. And as we open God's Word in a moment, we're going to read in 1 Peter again what Peter said to the early church about the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. In 1947, there was an event that occurred that absolutely shook and shattered and made news literally all around the world. Although no one heard it when it happened, the DC-4 that was flying over Bogota had literally slammed into the side of a mountain. And on that plane was a young man from New York by the name of Glenn Chambers. Nobody heard the sound as that metal came crashing together with the mountainside, and literally it crumbled in a clump of fire to the base of the mountain, and everyone aboard perished. Glenn Chambers was a young man from New York that had a lifelong dream to become a part of a ministry called the Voice of the Andes. He was on that plane. And before his plane left Miami, Florida, Glenn had found a crumpled piece of paper on the floor, and he picked it up and thought at the last minute, "I'll send a note to my mother." And he wrote a note to his mom, and on that crumpled piece of paper, it had been an advertisement, and in the center of that crumpled piece of paper was one big word: why? Now, the timing of his mailing that note and the crash of the airplane occurred in such a way that, of course, his mother found out in 1947 about his death before the mail ever arrived. When she opened the letter, what she could only think and see was the one bold lettered word: why? I'm sure that in these days of concern and care and being a little overwhelmed and maybe even anxious in our culture, there may be a lot of people asking the question, why? Why are we facing what some are calling a pandemic of a virus? Why am I walking through the hardships that I'm having in my marriage? Or why am I dealing with difficulty with my children? The truth of the matter is, this is something that every one of us faces in every part of our life, and it was no different for Peter and the early church. Peter was writing to the early Christians who were overwhelmed by the circumstances of their life. Some of them had been rejected by their families, wives had been ridiculed by their husbands, they had been cast out of their jobs, many of them had been dealing with their own situations of disease and illness and sickness. And I can imagine that they were overwhelmed. And Peter writes in his first letter, and he says to them, I want you to live every single day with a living hope. And that's what he means here when he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I like what one person wrote about this. I found it very powerful. The question raised for these believers is the same that we might should pose for ourselves today. How can we have the power of soul in times of great stress and anxiety, not just to endure the evil day, but to be joyful and to fill our lives with the fruits of righteousness, with deeds of kindness, with projects of mercy, and with labors of love? How, when your life is in jeopardy, or your job, or your marriage, or your health, how can you rise up with joy and bless those who abuse you, and devote yourself to labors of love? To busy yourself for love's sake takes power in the very best of circumstances. But to send yourself in love and to spend yourself in love to others when your own life is falling apart, that takes a power of soul which is utterly beyond us. If that is what we are called to do, then the power has come from some source greater than ourselves. And so when Peter says, I want you to live every day with a living hope, we're saying that we believe that God not only enables and equips us, but he empowers us to live with a hope that maybe no one else in the world can understand. And this hope that we have is rooted and grounded in the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you take your Bible and if you look at this passage, you'll notice in verse 3, he says, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. The word living there is the word lively. You can literally say God has given us a lively hope. A hope that is alive, not something simply that we say, not something that we quote, not something that we espouse, but literally in these days when everyone else is worried and anxious and overwhelmed, we as the people of God do not live without hope. We have a living and a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the question. How can you and I live every single day with this living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? I find it very interesting. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store, and all we needed was bread, flour, and potato flakes. And I couldn't believe how crowded it was and how many people were there and how many, folks had buggies just stacked with stuff everywhere. And it reminded me that I heard somewhere and I read this somewhere that someone said, chocolate is recession proof. Everybody wants chocolate even in a recession, right? Well, I think that must be one of our comfort foods. What I hope to do today is to give you some comfort food from God's word so that you can live with a lively hope in the midst of all of the chaos and all of the anxiety and all of the newscast and all of the Facebook posts and all of the things that you hear, we as the people of God must live above the anxiety and look higher and beyond the confusion, because we have an answer to everyone that will listen, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. So I want to show you three things this morning that we find in this text and that Jesus tells us from this letter that he gave 1 Peter to write. You can live with a lively hope and face every single day with living hope when you have experienced the power of the resurrected Christ. Notice that's what he says in verse 3. He actually says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again." Now the key word is the word conversion. That is, the reason that you have hope is that you have experienced the power of a resurrected Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead that we might have everlasting life. And for believers, I understand that things can get tough. I realize that world circumstances and natural disasters and diseases and everything else that we can imagine can cause us to get unsettled and uncertain about the things around us. But if you have met the power of a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, you and I do not have the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And you can get up every single day. You can go to the gas station, the grocery store, and if you're still going into work or wherever else you have to go, you don't have to live with gloom and doom, but you can live with joy in the resurrection of Jesus that empowers you to live because you have been born again. Now, here's my question. Have you been converted? I like what Paul said to the church in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you've been converted, if you've been born again, just like Peter says in verse 3, if you've been born again, you were born again to a living hope, not something that you just read about in a book, not something that you just think is a fanciful, "I hope it happens." It is a living hope because Jesus is alive. You can live every day with living hope when you've experienced the power of a resurrected Christ. This morning, let me say to you that if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, the Bible says that if you will acknowledge that you have sinned against a holy God, if you will confess your sin and then turn away from your sin and turn to God and cry out to him for forgiveness, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how do you live with this lively hope? First of all, by experiencing the power of a resurrected Christ. But in verse 4, he goes on and he says that you can face every day with living hope when you express faith in the promises of God. Look in verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you've experienced the power of the resurrection, the key word is conversion. But if you've expressed faith in the promises of God, the key word is confidence. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm extremely grateful for everything that our government is doing and our medical community is doing, And the reason that we're gathering online is to be a part of loving our neighbor, loving one another, and doing our part to help eradicate disease in our nation and in our community. And we understand there's wisdom and practical things that we have to do. But the fact of the matter is, our confidence does not come from what we do. Our confidence really lies in the promises of Almighty God, because when God makes a promise, the Bible says, "Let every man be a liar, God always keeps his promise." I hope you believe that this morning. And so the way that you live with hope every day, you face every day, not ignoring reality, not acknowledging the difficulties that people face. I'm not saying that you gleefully act like nothing is wrong. What I am saying is, deep within you, there is a confidence. Listen to what he says in verse 4. You have obtained an inheritance. That is, God has already given you an inheritance in Jesus Christ. And the key word is confidence. Now, he uses four words here: imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and reserved. Notice what these mean. The word imperishable means imperishable, but it can also mean unravaged by any invading army. The hope that you have in Jesus Christ is not destroyed, nor is it diminished, whether it's an invading army of soldiers from another nation, or a financial crisis on the stock market, or whether it's a disease or an airborne illness that you might contract. I'm telling you, nobody can take away the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ. It is imperishable. Then he also says it is also undefiled. That means the Christian has a purity which the sin of the world cannot infect. Look at this passage. You have a living hope. You obtain an inheritance that is not only imperishable, but it is undefiled. Nothing can taint what you have when you have Jesus. Dear friend, I hope this morning that you can live with hope because you've been converted. But I also hope that you can live in such a way that people see your confidence in the very promises of Almighty God. Then he says it will not fade away. The word literally means unfading. It doesn't reduce, it doesn't diminish, and it doesn't decay. What you have in Jesus only gets greater and greater, because the closer we get to glory, the closer we get to him, we see things clearer and brighter and more hopeful because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And then the very last thing about this, he says, it's reserved in heaven for you. The word here means to guard, to keep an eye on. I know that you go to the beach and you're going to go wade in the water, and you say to one of your family members, now, keep an eye on the stuff. Or maybe you're in the airport and you need to go get a soda or something to eat, and you say to your spouse or one of your kids, are you going to stay here? Yeah, I'm going to stay here. Well, keep your eye on our stuff. I got news for you. There's not one thing that you have in this world that will last except what you have in Jesus. And so we live with hope, not some future hope, but a present reality of what we have in Jesus Christ when we express faith in the promises of God. Verse three, experiencing the power of the resurrected Christ, you must be converted. Verse 4, expressing faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. Key word is confidence. But in verse 5, here's what he says. He says, you can face every day with a living hope when you express faith in the purposes of God. And the key word is conviction. Notice what he says here. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you understand what God is saying? God is saying that when you have been converted and when you walk with confidence in his promises, then you have within you a conviction that God has a purpose for your life. And whatever it is that God allows to come into your life, just like whatever God allowed to come into the life of these early believers, whether it was loss of a job, whether it was sickness, whether it was whatever it was, you and I face these things with a living hope because we believe that God has an eternal purpose that he is fulfilling. He is the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And from beginning until the end, God's redemptive plan of human history is unfolding. But listen to this, God's redemptive plan for your life is unfolding. And so with that, the key word is conviction. And what that means, there's two things that that means for your life. It means, first of all, you can live every single day saying, God is protecting me. The word that Peter uses for protect, it's a military word. It means that our life is garrisoned by God and that he stands sentinel over us. Now, I don't mean by that we should be foolish and unwise and do unwise things, and that's not at all what he's saying. What he is saying is that you have a guard over you that if anything touches you before it gets to you, it had to go through the permissive will and hands of Almighty God. Today, I want you to live with hope, a lively, powerful, soul-stirring hope that God is protecting you. Secondly, he says, God is preparing you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith, for what? For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I think this is very important because we here as believers, sometimes we get so caught up in this life that we forget that there's a life to come. And we think everything is about right here and now. But one day, listen to me, what you and I experience now is only preparation for the reality that is to come. Everything that we know now will come to its greatest fulfillment when we meet Jesus face to face. And so not only is God protecting us now that he might fulfill his purposes for our life, but God is preparing us for what he has before us when one day we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, oh my, that's going to be a wonderful time, isn't it? And I want to encourage you today. There's a wonderful story in the life of Lawrence of Arabia that points to this often confusion that people have. Let me share it with you. When Lawrence took some Arabian chieftains to Paris for the Paris Peace Conference, they were astounded by the conveniences of the city. What they found was most amazing of all was the running water that flowed from the faucets in their hotel rooms. Life in the desert had taught them the scarcity and the value of water. But now by simply turning on the faucet, they could have all the water they wanted. They drank it, they bathed in it, and still there was more. When it came time for Lawrence and his party to check out of the hotel rooms, he found the Arab chieftains doing a curious thing. They were trying to detach the faucets so they could take them with them to the desert. He tried to explain to them that the faucets were useless without being connected to the pipes, which were in turn attached to the water mains leading to the city's reservoirs. But the Arabs would not be dissuaded. They really believed that if they had the magic faucets in the desert, they would have an endless supply of water. Can I tell you something this morning? Living hope is not tied to your circumstances, to your finances, or to your health. Living hope that you can live with every day is born out of a conviction, I know Jesus as my Savior. It's born out of a confidence, I trust God's promises. And it's born out of a conviction that Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. God's word is filled with words of hope. Listen to these scriptures. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15. 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Hope. 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 Hope is not a word. Hope is a person. And Jesus Christ stands behind every promise he has ever made. Recently, I saw the movie I Still Believe, the story of Jeremy and Melissa Camp. It's a powerful story of walking by faith, even through hardship. In that movie, Jeremy Camp, his wife Melissa, made this statement to Jeremy when she was dying. She said, struggles and difficulty in life don't destroy our faith, they refine it. Now, I want you to listen to me. What we're walking through in these days is an incredible opportunity. We have the privilege of helping one another, our neighbors, and the world see that we're not shaken. We're going to be wise. We're going to be practical. We're going to do the things we need to do. But we're going to serve people. We're going to love one another. We're not going to forsake our church family. We're going to live every day with a lively, vibrant hope. Today, if you need someone to pray with or you'd like a pastor to talk with, you can call the number on the screen or you can email the email address that's being put on the screen for you right now. And at some point today, that information will be gotten to one of our pastors and we'll call you and minister to you. If today you say, Daryl, I've never experienced the power of a resurrected Christ, but I'd like to. I'd like to know that I'm a Christian. And that when I die, I'm going to heaven. If you'll be sure to make sure and email or call that number, we will talk with you today. If you just need someone to give you words of comfort, or maybe you have a ministry need, if you're a senior adult and you say, I need some groceries, but I'm not certain about getting out among a crowd, you call us. We'll go get groceries for you. If you know someone in your community that has a need, you call or email and we will follow up with them. Our desire is to not only mention words of hope, but to model hope by living out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, because we live with an absolute confidence in God's word, and we have conviction in our life that because we belong to Jesus, we can share that hope in real, practical, and meaningful ways. Thank you for joining us in this gathered worship experience. I want to pray for you. Now, after I've prayed, our senior associate pastor is going to come and share with you some very important updates and announcements. So although the service will be ending, I'm going to ask you to stay online and listen to these announcements, and I believe they'll be a blessing and a help to you. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can live every day with hope. Thank you for the word that you gave through Peter to us. God, I pray if there's one person that does not know Jesus Christ, that today they'll repent and believe on you, Lord, and that we as your people, that Lord, we will reflect on our conversion, rest in the confidence of the truth of your promises, and live convictionally as people of the second coming. Bless this time and this day. We give you praise. We give you glory. And I want you to do this with me. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor Philip is going to come, and he's going to share with us at this time.
Well, thank you, Pastor Darrell. And thank you for that wonderful reminder that when we have Christ, we always have hope. Amen. I need to share just a few announcements with you. First of all, let me just say thank you for joining us online. The Bible says when two or three are gathered together, that there he is in our midst also. And he didn't say whether it's in the church building or online, we have sensed his presence with us today. And for that, we are truly grateful. Let me share some important announcements with you. And I want to begin with this announcement about Mr. John Tate. We are so saddened to hear about Mr. John Tate's passing, and we want to remind our church body that his visitation and funeral will go on as planned. You see the announcement there on your screen. His visitation will be today from 5 to 8, and the funeral services will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the chapel at Whitesburg, right here at the church. So please be in prayer for the Tate family. They need you at this time. I want to remind you that during this season, we are going to be intentional. We're going to be intentional in how we navigate this time of uncertainty. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is with prayer. And Pastor Darrell's already said, if you need prayer, if you need anything, you can call us here at the church office and we'll be delighted to visit with you. But you can also use the prayer app. We encourage you to use the prayer app and to reach out to your church family for any needs that you have through the use of the app. We're also going to be intentional in the way that we connect. And one of the ways that we're going to connect is utilizing the resources that God's blessed us with, our webpage and our Facebook page. Now, I want to direct your attention to our webpage, because there you will receive all of the updates that we will be posting. And so I want to encourage you to visit the webpage often so you can be updated on what Whitesburg is doing in response to COVID-19. I also want to remind you, and you'll see it there on the announcement, the latest announcement, that we will be worshiping right back here next week online at 9:30. So we want to encourage you to join with us next Sunday at 9:30 right here online. And then we're also going to connect with you personally. We want you to know that our business hours at the church, we're going to operate under normal business hours. And so if you have a need, we want you to call us. The church number is there on the slide. And so please take note of that. And also, if you need a pastor, we want to visit with you. We want to be available for you. So connect with us utilizing the number that's there on the slide, and we will respond to your need. You already saw a few minutes ago that we have an email address. If you need one of us, just simply type in pastor@whitesburgbaptist.org, and we will respond immediately to your need. We also just want to remind you again that we're going to be streaming. You see the address there, our services. So we'll see you right back here at 9:30 next week. I also want you to know that this service that you just viewed is going to be up immediately following this service. So feel free to go online and rewatch the service. We're going to help you stay informed through our webpage, our Facebook, and through our bulletins. And so please take advantage of all the resources that are provided so that you can stay in touch with what we have going on here at Whitesburg. You know, and during this time, another thing we're going to do, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. How are we going to continue to grow? Well, we're going to encourage you to continue your private times with the Lord. Continue your times of daily Bible reading and prayer, utilizing the annual Bible reading plan that we have here at the church. And we're going to continue to grow by trusting the Lord through this time of uncertainty. The Lord has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so now we need to trust Him more than ever. And we will grow as we learn to trust the Lord during these times. I want to remind you that we're going to serve as well. Now is a great time to serve. I want to encourage you, stay in touch with your church family. Call those that you know are most vulnerable during this time, our senior citizens, those that have certain illnesses. Stay in touch with your church family. Stay in touch with your neighbors. Check on your neighbors and make sure that they're doing okay. But we're going to serve. And one last word, we're going to continue to serve with the March Madness food drive. Receptacles are going to be placed outside of the rock. And so feel free to do a drive-by. You can come by and drop your canned goods off or whatever it is that you would like to give to the food drive and place them in those receptacles. And people will be helpful this week in picking those things up and making sure they get to where they need to go. We look forward to seeing you next week at 9:30 online. This concludes our service today. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you soon here at Whitesburg.